Welcome to another episode of Tactical Tuesday with Modern MilSim. Through this podcast, we will bring you real-world tactics, techniques, and procedures that will enable you to succeed on the MilSim battlefield. It's time to make ready. Hello, and welcome to Episode 4 of Tactical Tuesday with Modern MilSim. As always, I'm your host, Craig White. Thank you for being here. Now, today we're going to talk about hand and radio communications. As many of you know, communication is the third of the three basic pillars of MilSim combat: shoot, move, and communicate. In prior episodes, we have talked about basic concepts concerning shooting and moving. So now it makes sense to now talk about the importance and use of communications. Communications is what ties shooting and moving together. Although a force that is comprised of individuals that know how to use individual movement techniques and who are fairly good marksmen can be effective, they are no match for a similar force that is proficient in communication. This is because the use of communications increases the situational awareness and effectiveness of the unit as a whole. Think of an open hand versus a fist. A unit that is comprised of players that don't communicate well is like an open hand with fingers pointing at the enemy. None of the unit's members know what the others are doing, and as a result, they are unlikely to act together effectively. As a result, the unit is unlikely to exert overwhelming combat power against the enemy. It's like poking the enemy with your fingers. Now, a unit whose members are proficient with communications will be able to work together effectively, to move more efficiently, to call targets for other members of the unit, can call in artillery or airstrikes, and otherwise work together as a cohesive unit. Instead of poking the enemy with the fingers of an open hand, the unit hammers the enemy with a closed fist. So what is the definition of communications? Communication is defined as providing information from one individual to another through spoken word, written word, or other nonverbal method. Now, closely related to communication is dissemination. Dissemination is the conveying of relevant information between two individuals. Communication is worthless if the individuals are not providing relevant information to each other. Leave the non-essential talk out of communications on the battlefield. Because of the chaos that comes with the firefight, it is important to communicate relevant information to each player quickly. This is especially important to leaders that are giving orders to those under their command. With battlefield communications, every instruction provided to individual members of a unit must be echoed by everyone who hears or sees it. This is a quick way for the unit leader to confirm that all individuals under his command have heard the instruction or order. For verbal communications, all instructions and commands must be short and to the point to minimize any possible confusion. The more concise the order or instruction is, the less likely it will be misunderstood. Just remember that brevity and efficiency are key in all MilSim communications. So first, let's start with hand signals. Hand signals are a form of nonverbal communication that can be effectively used at shorter distances where individuals have a clear line of sight to each other. Because hand signals are limited to those within a fairly close line of sight of each other, they must be echoed or mirrored down the line by each member of the unit to ensure that everyone is aware of it. The main advantage of hand signals is that they can be used silently. As such, hand signals help the members of the unit to maintain noise discipline. As discussed in earlier episodes of this podcast, noise discipline can be instrumental in maintaining situational awareness for friendly forces while also degrading the enemies. You want to keep the enemy reacting to your actions while you move to a better position to eliminate them. Now, when giving hand signals, it is important to use the non-firing hand. You want your firing hand to be on your weapon if the shooting starts. That second or so that it takes for you to grasp your weapon and fire it can be the difference in eliminating the enemy or being eliminated yourself. So here are some of the hand signals most often used in MilSim operations. Although there are several of them, for clarity's sake, I'm going to go through them individually. The first one we want to talk about is the hand signal for freeze. This means freeze where you are. Do not move. Do not reload your weapon. Do not ask questions. Just freeze in place. This signal is performed by holding up the non-firing hand in a fist above your shoulder. Unlike other hand signals, freeze is the only one that is not echoed or mirrored down the line. This is because the human eye is drawn to movement. If everyone in the squad or fire team is repeating the freeze hand signal, the odds are pretty likely that the enemy will see it. So the next signal we want to talk about is halt. Unlike the freeze hand signal, the members of the element or unit move to a position where they can take cover if possible. They do not need to freeze in place and can go about reloading and doing other activities while they wait. This hand signal is performed by bringing the hand up above the shoulder with the fingers and thumb extended vertically and close together. It is very similar to the motion you make when you take an oath or a police officer tells you to stop. So the next hand signal we have on our list is come here. And this signal basically means you want the recipient of the signal to come to your position. It is performed by extending the hand and arm up away from the body with the back of the hand facing toward the recipient of the signal. Once he turns around and looks at you, you then repeatedly move the hand horizontally towards your body while keeping the back of the hand facing toward the recipient of the signal. So then we're going on to the next signal, and that one is get down. And this signal means to get down behind cover or go prone. It is performed by extending the non-firing arm out with the palm of your hand facing down toward the ground. You then move your hand toward the ground like you're pushing something down to it. When you perform this hand signal, make sure to keep your hand parallel to the ground to keep it clear and concise. The next signal we're here to talk about is look here. This signal means to look in the area where I am pointing. It is performed by holding the non-shooting hand so that the index and second finger are pointing at your eyes, followed by pointing in the direction where you want the recipient to look. Closely related to the look here signal is the listen signal. This signal means stop moving and listen. It is performed by pointing or cupping your hand around the ear. If you're talking about a specific sound in a specific area, you first cup your ear or point to your ear, followed by pointing the area where you think you hear the sound. So then we come up to the all good or ready signal. And this signal is performed simply by putting your thumbs up if you understand and ready to go, or thumbs down if you're not ready to go, or things are not good. So then now we're getting into the more unusual or not typical hand signals. And the first one I want to talk about here is rally up or on me. This signal is performed by holding the arm up above your head while twirling your index finger in wide circles over your head. This signal means for the recipients to come to you and form up on your position. So the next hand signal on my list is rally point. And this particular hand signal designates the location of the rally point. It is performed by extending an arm down toward the ground and twirling the index finger over the terrain feature that marks the rally point. Be aware there are several types of rally points which we will discuss in later episodes. But for the point of this discussion, this hand signal is used to designate a specific memorable terrain feature for the members of the unit to return to if they get separated. If the team must break contact with the enemy, it would also return to this rally point to form up if possible. Now moving on to the next hand signal, it is I understand. This signal means that you understand your instructions, like the all good or ready hand signal is performed by giving the thumbs up sign. So then we come to I don't understand. This signal is performed by holding an arm out in front of you with the palm facing out, then sweeping the palm back and forth slowly and horizontally. A variation of this signal is to give the thumbs down hand signal. And it means just that. I don't get it. I don't understand. So then we come to another important hand signal, and this one is the one for danger area. And just real quickly, danger area is a position where the enemy can get eyes on you or can put fire on you and your unit. The signal is performed by pointing at an area that you consider to be the danger area while simultaneously making a slashing motion across your throat with the edge of the other hand. An alternative to this signal is to point at the danger area first, then using the same hand to make the slashing motion across your throat. So our next hand signal is enemy. This signal indicates that the enemy is in the direction indicated. It is performed by holding the palm of your hand in front of your face with your fingertips on your nose like a mask and then pointing in the direction of the enemy force. A variation of this signal is to simply shoulder and point your weapon at the enemy. So the next signal on our list is move to. This signal means move to the area indicated. It is performed by pointing at the team member designated to move, followed by pointing to the area where he or she is to move. As an alternative, the knife hand can be used in place of pointing. So now we're coming toward the end of our list of hand signals. The next signal we're going to talk about is move up. This signal means to move toward the current objective. It is performed by moving an arm in a windmill motion from low and behind your back, and then up and forward over the shoulder. The next hand signals we're going to be talking about concern formations. The first one we're going to talk about is form wedge. This signal means for the formation to transition into a wedge formation. The signal is performed by extending both arms down and away from the body so that you resemble an arrowhead. The alignment of the wedge formation is indicated by the direction of the signal giver is facing combined with the position of the signal giver's hands. By moving up using a pointing or knife hand movement, the axis of advance for the formation is also given. Then we come to the next formation signal, and that is form line. This hand signal means for the formation to get aligned in a line formation. This signal is performed by extending both arms out to the side and parallel to the ground. The direction of the line is indicated by the direction of the signal giver is facing combined with the position of the signal giver's hands. By following up using a pointing or knife hand movement, the axis of advance for the formation is given. And so when we're talking about the wedge or the line formations, the person is going to be giving the formation signal is going to be facing in the direction that the formation is to be facing, and then pointing in the direction that they're going to be moving to. So the hand signals given by the squad leader or the fire team leader with regards to forming a wedge or a line formation, they're not going to be facing towards the unit. Okay? So then we come to the next formation signal, and that is form a file. And as you recall from our prior discussions in this podcast, a file is basically a single file line. And you perform this signal by making a karate chop type motion to and away from the center of your face. Similarly, the form column formation hand signal means to transition to a column formation. And this signal is performed by making alternating karate chop type motions to the left and right side of the face. And as you know from our prior discussions, the column is basically a split file. You've got two lines of troops going in the same direction. So then we're coming down now to the last two hand signals we're going to talk about today. And the first of those two is cease fire. And that means exactly what it sounds like, stop firing. This signal is performed by passing the open hand up and down in front of your face. It's probably the only hand signal where it is appropriate to yell cease fire while performing it. After all, you are already firing when the signal is given. Stealth is already lost at that point. And then the last signal, hand signal that is cover me. And this signal means to cover me as I move to the next position. It is performed by moving the hand palm down back and forth over the top of the head. Now, one thing you do need to keep in mind about hand signals is that there are very many variations of them. I've only given a few of the ones that are commonly used and the most often used variation of each one of the hand signals we've talked about. So just keep that in mind. The main thing is you want to make sure that the hand signals you're using are readily identifiable and recognizable by the recipient of the hand signal. And as always, I will have links to these various videos of hand signals in the show notes. So now we've come to the part of the episode where we're going to discuss radio transmissions. And like visual signals, radio transmissions and radio communications have their own set of standards and rules to help govern the traffic going across the radio net and to keep it from being saturated with unnecessary chatter. So let's talk about radio communication standard operating procedures. Proper radio etiquette must be observed at all times. Radio transmissions must be short and concise to keep the radio net open for important information and orders. Lengthy radio transmission should be avoided. If you must have a lengthy radio transmission, use the pro word break intermittently every few moments to allow others to get access to the net to provide critical information that would not otherwise get through. Now, here's the procedure you need to use while doing radio communications. First, key your radio. Press and hold your radio press to talk or PTT button, then take a breath. Many people start speaking into the microphone at the same time as they press their PTT. When you do that, it fragments your message and makes it unclear to receiving stations. Basically, your radio is trying to connect to the net while you're starting to talk. For that reason, to press the PTT button for a moment before you speak to ensure that you transmit your entire message. Next, you initiate your communication. To initiate radio contact, begin by twice stating the call sign of the individual with whom you wish to communicate with, followed by your own call sign. For example, white leader, this is blue leader, do you copy? Now, once you send that first communication, you wait for the recipient to respond or acknowledge it. Usually, the intended recipient of your message will respond with, this is white leader, go ahead, or this is white leader, send it, or even, This is White Leader, send your traffic. Now, once you receive that acknowledgement from the recipient of your radio transmission, then you want to actually send your message. And you need to do this clearly and concisely, state the message without going to a lot of extra ums and stuff like that. For example, Blue Team is passing Phase Line Echo. Once you send your message, make sure you get a confirmation from the other party. This is a critical step. Make sure the intended recipient of your message confirms receipt of same. For example, I copy, Blue Team is passing Phase Line Echo. If you have received a radio communication, the sender will likely ask you to repeat the message back. And this is usually done with a pro word such as how copy or read back. Respond to each such query by stating solid copy or I read back and then repeating the instruction back to the sender. If you did not understand the sender's transmission, reply by stating say again your last transmission. Now, unless you are calling in fires, you need to avoid the use of the word repeat. Repeat has a very specific connotation and meaning in radio transmissions in the military. Repeat means that you want the fire mission that you've just called in to be done again. And if you use the word repeat on the transmission and you're not involved in calling for fires, you could inadvertently have rounds dropped on your own friendlies because you used the wrong word. That is why when we do not understand a communication, we respond with, say again your last. Now, one thing that is integral to using radio communications are call signs. And a lot of people think you get to assign yourself a call sign, but that's not really how it works. Normally, they're assigned to you by leaders that are higher up in the chain of command than you are. Unlike in a lot of movies, most units are not identified by call signs such as Switchblade, Ghost, Ninja, and things like that. For clarity purposes, leaders of a squad or higher echelon unit are typically identified as follows. At the battalion level or higher, the commanding officer or CO is identified with the unit name followed by the number 6. For example, the radio call sign for Task Force Danger would be Danger 6. The executive officer or XO for the formation is identified by the name of the formation followed by the number 5. If you are the XO for Task Force Ranger, your call sign would be Danger 5. Similarly, the command sergeant major for Task Force Danger would be Danger 9. Now, if the element uses a radio telephone operator or RTO, as they are sometimes referred to, he would use the call sign of Danger 6 and convey information to and on behalf of the force commander. If there is an RTO and you're communicating with the actual unit commander, he responds to your transmission with Danger 6 Actual. The word actual means that you are directly speaking with the CO and not one of his staff. If you want to communicate directly with the RTO as opposed to the force CO or XO, you would use the unit name followed by the officer that the RTO is assigned to, followed by the phonetic alphabet letter R. For example, to reach the RTO for Task Force Danger CO, you would use the call sign Danger 6 Romeo. Now, for company commanders, their call sign is either the name of the company in question or a previously designated call sign that starts with the same letter as the company followed by a 6. For example, Able Company may be referred to as Able 6, or if previously set forth in a communications plan, as Aces 6, Angels 6, or maybe even Aries 6. Remember that the call signs need to be concise and easy to understand to prevent confusion. Similarly, a company's first sergeant's call sign would be Able 7, Aces 7, or Aries 7. Now, when we're talking about platoon leaders, their call signs typically refer to the platoon leader with the name of the company followed by the number of his platoon and then the number 6. For example, the call sign for Baker Company's 2nd platoon leader would be Baker 26. Now, when we're talking about squad leaders, their call signs are a little bit different. Their call sign consists of the name of the company, followed by the number of the platoon, followed by the number of the squad. For example, the squad leader for the 3rd squad of the 2nd platoon of Easy Company would be Easy 23. Now, when you get down to the fire team level, there really isn't much in the way of radio communications because most of the communication within the squad is done via voice commands or hand signals. That being said, a fire team leader can assign the fire team members with call signs so long as they are not used on the platoon net and won't be confused with other call signs. So now it's time to talk about radio pro words. Radio pro words are the heart of radio communications. They are words that have a specialized meaning which allows for more concise radio communications. Remember that brevity in your transmissions frees up the net for other traffic. So let's get into each individual pro word. The first one is go ahead or send it. Now, the pro words go ahead or send it mean send me your traffic. It is typically followed when the initial party is trying to reach you by calling your call sign, and then you respond by saying send your traffic or go ahead to let them know that you are receiving them and to go ahead and proceed with giving you their message through the next transmission. And so that brings me to another, the next two important pro words that you're going to use all the time in radio transmissions. The first one is over. And over means I have finished my last transmission to you and I require a response. Go ahead and respond. And typically that's what happens when you're getting ready to do your transmission after the other side has acknowledged it and you want to make sure they have received it. For example, Baker 6, this is Easy 6 over. Easy 6, go ahead. Baker 6, we have enemy in the wire. Over. This is the part where Baker 6 needs to respond. Roger, enemy in the wire, Baker 6 out. And that's when I'm coming to like the next pro word you use. When you're wanting a response, you use the pro word over. Now, if you finish your transmission and do not need a response, then you use the pro word for out. No response is required or necessary. And while we're talking about over and the word out, you hear all these things in movies and things like that where the communication is going back and forth. And when they're done, one guy says to the other guy, over and out. That is not proper communications in radio transmission. And that's not the proper use of the pro words. Out and over are mutually exclusive pro words. If you need a response to a transmission, you use the word over. If you're done with the transmission, you simply say out. For example, Baker 6, I receive your transmission, out. He does not say over, he just says out to mean that the transmission is over. So, okay, the next pro word on my list is SITREP, S-I-T-R-E-P. And SITREP stands for Provide a Situation Report. Typically, you respond to the pro word SITREP by responding with an acronym known as SALT or SALUTE. SALT refers to size of the enemy force, A is for activity, L is for location, and T is time. Now, if you're deciding to respond to a SITREP request with the SALUTE acronym, then what you're talking about is S is for size of the enemy force, A is the activity they are performing, L is the location of the enemy, U is the uniform for the enemy, T stands for time, and E is equipment. In other words, what equipment are they using? Okay, so then the next pro word that I like to talk about is how copy. And that pro word is used to indicate that you want to find out if the party you're talking to has understood and received your message. And going along with that is also the pro words of solid copy and hard copy. And those pro words stand for I copied your last order instructions clearly. So let's do an example of how this would work out. So Baker 6 is receiving a transmission from Easy 6. So Easy 6 starts it off by saying, Baker 6, Baker 6, this is Easy 6, how copy? Baker 6 responds by, I read you, Easy 6, send your traffic. Easy 6 responds by stating, objective aerial is secure. And then he will follow that up with how copy, at which point Baker 6 would say, solid copy or hard copy, Baker 6 out. So the next pro word on my list is say again. And that means state your last transmission again. And this could be the entire transmission or in your transmission where you say again, you're specific as to what part you need repeated. For example, if you don't understand anything after you were given an MGRS grid, you would say again your last after move to MGRS grid 540793. And the important thing to get into on this is that you want to say again versus repeat. Like we mentioned earlier, if you say the word repeat, it could be misinterpreted by a fire base, meaning that they need to repeat their last fire mission. So you do not use the word repeat unless you're literally calling for a repeat of a fire mission, which is already splashed. So that brings us to Wilco. And Wilco is a short term to mean will comply. It's basically a contraction of those two words. And you use that as a short form to let the higher command that is calling you, let them know that you have received their orders and you're going to comply with them. For example, Baker 6 is responding, or is calling rather, one of its platoon leaders. And it starts off like this. Baker 2-6, Baker 2-6, is Baker 6 over? Baker 2-6 responds by saying, go ahead. Baker 6 then advises Baker 2-6 what his orders are and says, over. And then immediately after that, Baker 2-6 would say, Wilco, Baker 2-6 out. And that's how that works. So moving along, the next pro word is break. And you use the word break, the pro word break, to say, hey, I'm taking a break from the transmission just for a moment to allow anybody who has more critical transmissions to be able to break onto the net. So you're given a transmission and you say break, wait a few more moments, and then get back on and complete whatever your transmission is. You do not need to say over or out in between the breaks. You just say break, wait a few moments, and come right back into your message again. The next pro word is please advise. And you respond or use this pro word when you're talking to higher command to basically say, hey, what are my orders? The next pro word is correct, which means who you are correct. And then there is one is similar but different called correction. And when you use the pro word correction, you're actually correcting your last transmission to the extent there was a mistake. So you say correction, and then follow that with the correction to the transmission you're doing. The next pro word is disregard. And disregard means ignore my last transmission. The next one is roger or copy. And when you use that pro word, it means I have received and understood your last transmission. Then we come to the pro word of wait one. And wait one means stand by for a moment. I will be back on the net in just a moment. Now, if you've rephrased that as wait out, you're saying I'm going to take a much longer pause than a few moments, and therefore I am ending this transmission and will get back on the net later. Then you have the pro word of execute. And execute sounds just like what you expect it to be. That is the pro word that upper command gives to lower echelons of the force to execute their last order or instruction. And then you come to the next pro word, which is similar to execute, but a little bit different. It says execute to follow. Execute to follow means execute the following order or instruction upon receipt of the pro word execute. So in other words, if Baker 6 is giving orders to its platoon, Baker 2-6, it would go something like this. Baker 2-6, Baker 2-6, this is Baker 6 over. Baker 2-6 would respond to with go ahead or send your traffic. Baker 2-6 would say, execute to follow, move to grid 541790, how copy. Baker 2-6 responds by solid copy, move to grid and repeat the grid, and then would say, Baker 2-6 out. Now, at this point, Baker 2-6 knows that it has orders to move to that grid, but does not actually execute on that order until Baker 6 follows up with the transmission with the pro word execute. See how that works? Okay, so the next pro word I have on my list is authenticate. And this is typically used when you think that the enemy is eavesdropping on your transmissions and you want to make sure that who you're talking to is who you think they are. And what you would do is call the station you're trying to reach and say authenticate, followed by the authentication code query. In other words, the code to which the other station needs to respond to. Then the other station would respond with authentication is, and they would follow it up with the proper authentication code word response. Okay, so one station would be calling the other station, say authenticate, followed by the authentication code query. And then the responding station would come back with authentication is and give the response. And then the transmission would go from there. And then the next pro word we have after that is read back. And what happens with that is the station will call, or usually an upper command will be calling, and they will advise in their transmission what your orders are. And they will say, read back my last transmission. And so in response to that, the responding station would say, I read back, and then they would repeat the information they just received. It's like a back brief over the radio. I read back to you the following information I just received. Now, there are a few other pro words that are frequently used in MILSIM, and the next one I want to talk about is relay. Relay means you want someone to transmit the message you're sending to them to another station. For example, Baker 6 needs a transmission relayed over to Able 6, whom it cannot reach. However, Baker 6 is able to get in touch with Easy 6, the commander for Easy Company. So Baker 6 would contact Easy 6 by saying, Easy 6, is Baker 6 over? Easy 6 would respond by, send your traffic. Baker 6 would then say, relay to Able 6, and he would state the transmission that he wanted given to Able 6. When he's done, he says, how copy? Easy 6 responds by saying, solid copy, and then says, Easy 6 out, because now he's going to turn around and try to transmit that information to Able 6. Okay? The next pro words are silence on the net, and that simply means everybody stop transmissions right now, immediately. Stay silent on the frequency until it is lifted by the party or commander that has stated that silence needs to be on the net. Which brings me to the next pro word, which is silence lifted. And this is normally only given by whichever party, usually a commander, that has indicated that silence needs to be on the net. He simply gets on the radio and says, all stations, silence lifted, at which point regular radio traffic can resume. Now, these are just some of the pro words that are out there. There are several others, but they're not used very often. But I think you'll find if you use these pro words, it'll make your transmissions much more concise, make the flow go much better, and everybody will be on the same page as to what you're trying to say and your ability to confirm that the information they receive is what you've actually transmitted to them. And just as a little bit extra, if you go to the show notes, or better yet, to the Facebook page for this podcast, I usually list several diagrams or other information there that reflects what we're talking about here. So check that to find other information about pro words. And so now that's going to bring us to the next topic, and that's phonetic alphabet. Because when you're on the radio, it's easy to get mixed up or not hear things the way you think they would be because of static and other interference on the radio. So when it comes down to something where you're trying to identify something you want to make sure is clear to the receiving station, and it is a fairly short word or transmission, use the phonetic alphabet. And the phonetic alphabet that most people use in MILSIM operations is the NATO version of the phonetic alphabet. And what the phonetic alphabet is, instead of actually saying the letter like A, B, C, D, and that sort of thing, you would actually use a word that starts with that same letter. Now, for the NATO version of the phonetic alphabet, it goes like this. A is represented by Alpha, B is Bravo, C is Charlie, D is Delta, E is Echo, F is Foxtrot, G is Golf, H is Hotel, I is India, J is Juliet, K is Kilo, L is Lima, M is Mike, N is November, O is Oscar, P is Papa, Q is Quebec, R is Romeo, S is Sierra, T is Tango, U is Uniform, V is Victor, W is Whiskey, X is X-Ray, Y is Yankee, and Z is Zulu. So for example, if you needed to spell out the word objective because your transmissions were not coming well over the net, you would spell it out in this manner. Oscar, Bravo, Juliet, Echo, Charlie, Tango, India, Victor, Echo. See how that works? Now, let's talk about acronyms as they are used in communications, especially radio communications. We've already talked about the SALT report and the SALUTE report. Now, another report that's commonly used in MILSIM operations is the LACE report. And the LACE report is used to convey the capability of the squadron fire team as far as their ability to engage in operations. And LACE is an acronym. It stands for four elements. The first element is L for liquid. The second one is A for ammo. The third one is C for casualties. And the last one is E for equipment. Now, when you're talking about liquid status, it's indicating the status of your squadron fire team's hydration and the water available to it. And you identify the level of that by a color code beginning with green for good, amber for fair, red for meaning it's running out, and black meaning you are out. Now, the A in the LACE report stands for ammunition, the C stands for casualties, and the E stands for equipment. And you use the same color code as far as a status as you use in reporting the liquid status for your fire team or squad. For an example of this, you would respond to a LACE report by saying, LACE report is as follows. Lima, green. Alpha, amber. Charlie, amber. Echo, green. Over. Now let's talk about the next subject, brevity codes. Another useful technique for radio communications are brevity codes. They are one-word code words that are often used to indicate whether orders are successful or not, or missions are successful or not. They can be used to indicate whether a particular objective remains in friendly control or otherwise. For example, you could use a brevity code touchdown to mean that an attack was successful and fumble to mean it is not. For example, here's a transmission using brevity codes to mean an attack was successful. Whiskey 6, Whiskey 6, this is Easy 6, over. Send your traffic, Easy 6. Whiskey 6, objective Atlas is touchdown, over. Easy 6, copy that Atlas is touchdown. Whiskey 6 out. Now, the advantage of using brevity codes is that the enemy will not necessarily know what you're talking about. It certainly cuts down on the amount of information that can be transferred over to the enemy should they be monitoring your radio net. The only way they're going to know what the brevity codes mean is if they have a copy of them. Now, the downside of brevity codes is that they have to be preset amongst all parties involved in the attack or mission in order to be useful. If you don't know which brevity code means, it will do you no good during the mission. So this has been a rather condensed tutorial on communications. Keep in mind there is often more than one version of most hand signals. Although you can pick an obscure one, it is often better to use one that is in general use so that players from another team can recognize the hand signals you're using. You want to make sure that everyone is on the same page so that communications naturally flow without any misunderstandings. With radio communications, please remember to key your mic for a few moments before you speak and to clearly identify who you are. This is especially important when comms are degraded, as they typically are due to weather, distance, sunspot activity, and other interference. Remember that brevity is key. Send your traffic and then get off the net. This allows others to use the net as well. If you're going to have a lengthy transmission, use the pro word, break, and let off the PTT for a moment or two to see if there is more pressing traffic on the net. You do not have to identify yourself when you get back on the net to continue your communications. However, you do need to end your transmission with either over or out. Now, in this podcast, I usually don't discuss equipment and stay focused on tactics, techniques, and procedures. Because proper equipment is so central to proper radio communications, this is going to be one of the rare exceptions. You want to make sure that you've invested some money in your radio and communications gear if you're getting into MILSIM. In many cases, radios are going to be the primary method of communicating with higher command unless you're close enough to use voice commands or hand signals. Although you can buy one of those bubble packages, a Motorola or Midland walkie-talkies, they are really limited in their sensitivity and selectivity. When I say sensitivity, I'm talking about the ability of the radio to pick up radio signals toward the end of its range. Selectivity means the radio's ability to pick out one frequency as opposed to another. These low-end radios, such as the ones in the bubble packs, are also limited as to which accessories, such as hand mics and headsets, are available to them. As such, I would recommend that you move up to a programmable radio, such as the ones manufactured by Icom, Kenwood, or Baofeng. Typically, the Baofeng UV5R, or better yet, the Baofeng UV82, are radios that are generally good for use in MILSIM operations that will also not break the bank cost-wise. There are also a great number of aftermarket push-to-talks, headsets, or other accessories available because Baofeng uses the same 2-pin connector as does Kenwood radios. You can also upgrade the radio's antenna with the appropriate one from Diamond or Nagoya. Most Baofeng radios can also be programmed on the computer with Chirp software instead of using some of the more cumbersome software that come with some brands of radios. Finally, I intentionally did not address communications in the CQB environment. That is a more specialized topic that we will address when we get to urban warfare and close quarter battle issues. I hope that you've enjoyed this episode, and I look forward to seeing you at the next one when we talk about MILSIM force structure with a primary focus on squads and fire teams and how they work together. See you then. To our listeners out there, thank you for tuning in, and I look forward to providing you with new episodes every 2 weeks. If you like what you're hearing on this podcast, please subscribe and provide us with a review. We want to know what you like and how we can improve. You can also contact us on our Facebook page at facebook.com/modernmilsim with any suggestions you may have. In our next episode of Tactical Tuesday, we will discuss military force organization with a primary focus on squads and fire teams and how they work together. Along those lines, we will also discuss fire team member roles and chain of command. If you want to know more about application of real-world tactics, techniques, and procedures to MilSim, please check out From Alpha to Omega, a MilSim tactical primer and training manual, as well as From Insertion to Extraction, Advanced MilSim CQB Tactics, Techniques, and Procedures. Both books are available at Amazon.com. As always, thank you for your support, and I'll see you at our next installment of Tactical Tuesday.